You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. We are going to be continuing our series through the Gospel of John, the I Am series, looking at John 11 this morning. We're going to look at the story of Lazarus. I entitled the message, God Really Cares, and as I tell part of my story at the opening of this, you'll understand why that was the title chosen, and hopefully that will be a promise that we will all walk away with this morning, that God really cares. There's a handout in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. There's a long text, John 11, 1 to 44. And some of the main points and then some questions. So as we start this morning, I want to ask us, when was a time that we asked God for something? When was a time that we were asking for God to show up and maybe nothing happened? Did that outcome impact the way that you perceived God's care and God's love for you? I hope that as we look at this text this morning, that we will take encouragement from the story of Lazarus, that even when things do not turn out the way that we hope or expect, that we are reminded that God really cares and that God's love is for us. Let's pray this morning. God, we are so ever grateful that you are with us. And we pray that as we look at the text this morning, that we will find encouragement in those places of pain, and places of grief, that we will know that even when we were going through difficult times, as Mary and Martha were going through in the story of with Lazarus, God, that we would be reminded that you are with us and that you care. I pray this morning that we will have encouragement as we look at this text. Would you give us a lens from which to see this story and to see how your presence and your love is tangible in our own lives? Pray that you would guide our time this morning, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to tell you about a time in my life many years ago when I was in my early 20s working at a church, very early 20s. And I was in a very tough church situation in which I felt very alone, especially at such a young age. I had to make a very difficult decision to report a church leader who was doing unethical, abusive, and illegal things in our church and community. Now, there was no doubt in my mind that I had to turn this leader in to stop him. But sometimes when you do the right thing, you may be ostracized by others. This particular leader was doing things at a criminal level, preying on people's vulnerabilities. And as I turned him in, I felt alone and even isolated from God. It was probably one of the most painful times of my life that I can remember today as if it was yesterday. I didn't do anything wrong, and yet I felt like I was the one being punished. I remember feeling so disillusioned, and I told God that I just needed to know that he cared. I needed to know that he cared what I was going through. And I guess just knowing that would be enough in that moment. In the midst of all this, a good friend of mine invited me to her church. So another friend drove me to my other friend's church, and it was a 2-hour car ride. And in that 2-hour car ride, I did not say much. But there were a few sentences that I did say to my friend. I said, you know, I just need to know that God cares. I just need to know that he sees what I'm going through and that he cares and that he's with me. When we got to my friend's church, we realized that the normal church pastor wasn't preaching that morning. It was a guest preacher. And when he finished his sermon, he looked up and he looked directly at me in the crowd of 200 people. And he said, I don't know you, I've never met you before, but I just need you to know that God cares. God really, really cares what you're going through. I looked at my friend who drove with me to church, and we both burst into tears instantly. I knew in that moment that God cared, and he communicated that very important word to me through another believer. God cares. That phrase, God really cares, has not only been a theme in my life, but it has been a promise that I have rested upon. But God doesn't always provide those words and those signs. God does not always show up when we want him to. He does not rescue us or solve the problems. And yet God cares for us more than we would ever realize. In that particular situation, I was begging for God's rescue. Yet the promise of him being there was what I needed. Today we're going to look at a very tender story about Lazarus and Jesus' love for him. Even when Jesus didn't show up the way that was expected, we saw his love for Lazarus. So we'll be reading the text this morning from John 11, 1 to 44. It's a bit of a long text, but I want to make sure we hear the whole story. John 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, from the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, and so the sister sent a message to Jesus. Lord, the one who you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you're going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll be all right. But Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. That's an important number, 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and she met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know God will give you whatever you ask of him. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village. He was still at the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And they followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came into her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice and shouted, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is a powerful story. As we look at Jesus, who is friends with Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha, and as Lazarus has fallen ill, the sisters are begging him to come to tend to their sick brother. But upon hearing the news, Jesus didn't hurry. In fact, he kind of made a point of it to delay his coming. And when Jesus got on the scene, Lazarus had already been dead and in the tomb 4 days. As Mary approached Jesus as he arrived and proclaimed that her brother would not have died if Jesus came earlier, Jesus promised that Lazarus would rise again. But she thought that he was referring to the final resurrection of the dead. As Jesus approached the town, Mary was also grieving, and Jesus' response in seeing her and the other mourners is to weep as well. As Jesus goes to the tomb with the sisters and the mourners, Jesus proclaims, "Lazarus, come out." And then he instructed the people to take off Lazarus's grave clothes. Powerful text. But as we get into the text this morning, it's important that we know what was happening before and after the story to have a lens from which to see this particular story. Last week, we were blessed with Pastor Shirley's message on John 10 that Jesus is the good, the beautiful shepherd. He calls us by name. He looks after each one of us. He's our protector. And we've been promised that we are safe with him. He has our backs. There's a promise and an assurance in that. So no matter the things that we face, the pain that we experience, God's goodness and love for us is unchanging. The text that comes after this, after John 11, is Jesus. We see Jesus at the temple and the high priests are trying to arrest him. They've heard about the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead and they are determined to arrest Jesus. So here in this story after Lazarus, we see him facing persecution because he demonstrated his power and his love and was foretelling of the resurrection and the life that we have in Jesus. Now, being raised from the dead is not a new thing. We see a few instances to the Old and the New Testament. But in this particular story, it's unique because Jesus allows Lazarus to remain dead for 4 days before he resurrects him. And there's a purpose in this. Jesus is using this particular situation to work out his plan and to speak his truth, ultimately that he's the resurrection and the life. He sets us free. And in this story, what we learn is that God really cares. So as we go through the text this morning, there's three realities I want us to be thinking about, three realities or truths that the text teaches us. The first one is that God's time and our time don't always match up. In verse 6, it says, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, Lazarus was in the tomb 4 days before Jesus arrived. Jewish burial rites did not include embalming like we do today with bodies. They used spices and oil that would keep the odor of death away. But after 4 days, nothing's going to keep that smell away. And death literally has a smell. In my work as a police chaplain, I often ride with my officers. And on one particular ride a few years back, I remember we got a call for a bad odor coming from an apartment. And it was deadbolted from the inside, so we had to go through a window to get in. And it was a man who had been dead for over a week. And I will never forget that smell because death has an ugly, ugly smell. And Lazarus was dead for 4 days. So by the time that Jesus got there, he was beyond coming back to life. Traditional rabbinical teaching actually believes that the soul of a person will hover over a body for 3 days. But after that, it's all over. They're really, really dead. They're not partially dead. They're really dead. Any fans of the movie Princess Bride here? Okay. I had one fan in the first service, so it's good. We have a few more. So in the movie Princess Bride, we have one of the main characters, Wesley, who is forever in love with Princess Buttercup, and he appears to be dead. So his friends bring him to Miracle Max to revive him. And so Miracle Max examines him and proclaims that he was only mostly dead. Mostly dead isn't the same as all dead. He gives him a pill, and he's able to bring him back to life. So in that particular story, Wesley was mostly dead. But in our story, Lazarus was all dead. He was really, really dead. So the question when we look at this story is, why did Jesus wait? Why did Jesus delay in coming? Why was he not in a hurry to get to the friends that he loved when he hears about his illness? It's almost as if Jesus was avoiding going to him. But Jesus knew that Lazarus would already be dead, and God is the God of miracles who is able to do things we can't do for ourselves. Both Mary and Martha question Jesus and say, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But when we ask that question, why did Jesus delay? We may never know the answer to those questions, at least not on this side of heaven. But a few things that we can reflect on from this text as we think about God's time being different than ours. God operates on a different time continuum. He knows the right time. For God, it's about the journey, not just the destination. And God may be working out things that we cannot carry or see at this point. His timeline is beyond our constraints. I think as we look at this text and we think about God's timing being different than ours, we have to realize that life may look different than we hope or expect. We may be waiting for homes or spouses or children or jobs or hope or purpose or healing or wholeness. But God's time is not at our beckoning call. We may still not know the why in this story and in our own stories, but we have to trust that God's time is going to be worked out in a perfect way. But in it all, God really cares. As we think about this second truth in this text, we look at this and see that we only see in part, but Jesus sees it all. In verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." I think as we look at this text, we have to remember that God knows more than we do. He sees and knows things that we don't. And he has a plan for our lives that we may not be able to know at this moment in time. And sometimes God even uses our adversity and our pain so the Holy Spirit can work in us. But please hear me as I say this. God is not seeking to bring us harm or suffering, but he redeems and uses those places of brokenness to speak his love. I think as a society, we don't have a very good theology of pain and suffering and grief. Unfortunately, in my work as a police chaplain, I can't escape some of these realities as I go out. But having a theology of pain and suffering and grief and how God is in those times bringing redemption is so important. Because life is hard and we hold all of our brokenness in different ways. But we have to trust in God's character, his goodness, and his love, especially when we're in those times. The promise of his care is constant, and that's what holds us when we can't see the whole story. We may say that God has the power to stop and intervene, and we maybe even accuse God of forgetting us. Jesus could have come to Lazarus before he died, but that was not part of the plan. We're just looking at it from our lens, not God's lens. And life's not going to always make sense or seem fair, but we have to trust that God can see it all. Now, Mary and Martha only saw in part, and when Jesus proclaimed that Lazarus would rise again, they were thinking not now, but in the last days, because that concept of the resurrection of the dead was something they were familiar with. So they were thinking he was just trying to bring them words of comfort. But in this story, he was talking about them. Jesus was literally going to raise Lazarus from the dead, foretelling his own resurrection. Jesus speaks the most important message here, that whoever believes in me receives life, and this can't be taken away no matter the pain that we're going through. This is a story about commitment, God's commitment to us and his invitation for us to commit to him. Jesus tells Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then he asks, "Do you believe this?" And she responds and said, "Yes." And Jesus is asking each one of us that same question, "Do you believe this?" If you look at this question and this dialogue in the text, you'll realize that Jesus asked her if she believed this before he performed the miracle. Lazarus was still dead, but Jesus was asking Martha if she trusts him. Now the stone is taken away, and Jesus prays in a way that shows his deep unity with the Father, and he cries out, he shouts for Lazarus to come out. And the word in the Greek is only found six other times. And four of those times, that particular word is used when the crowds were shouting for them to crucify Jesus. Jesus shouts, "Bring life to Lazarus and to us." It demonstrated God's passion as he used this word proclaiming life. This story reminds us of Jesus's life and restoration. The restoration for us physically, as well as what he will do spiritually and emotionally, those chains being broken from us. Jesus proclaims that he is the resurrection and the life, and everyone who lives and believes in him will never die. We are set free. So I want us to think about, what are those things that have us bound? What are those chains that are on us? How is God calling each one of us out of death and suffering? What grave clothes do we need to shed? In this story, we are reminded that Jesus is speaking freedom over each one of us. In him, we have life, and he is our life. He proclaims freedom and life. The last verse in this text is one of my favorites. It says, "Unbind him and let him go." Brothers and sisters, Jesus were claiming that over each one of us. He is saying life, not death. Life, not death. Life, not death. Through the raising of Lazarus, Jesus proved that he had power over death. He had power over death, over pain, over suffering. Those things do not have the final say. God does. And Jesus proclaimed, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory. Now, we know in this story, Jesus brings Lazarus from death to life. But for us, the story does not always end that way. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. But it doesn't change the fact that God sees the whole picture, and he knows more than we do. Mary and Martha may not have known all that Jesus would do in this story. They were probably consumed with their own grief because their brother was dead, but God was able. He knew. And we know that in heaven, that we will have complete healing and restoration, but on this side of heaven, we pray and we believe in faith, but it may not work out the way that we think it will. But in it, God really cares. The last truth that we see in this is that God is with us. It's the idea of ministry of presence. In verse 33, it says, "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved them.'" Jesus was so sad over the death of Lazarus, but he knew that he would live. And Jesus was touched by the sorrowing of Mary and Martha. And Jesus wept is one of the three verses in the story which emphasizes Jesus' deep emotion as he approached the tomb. He was deeply moved in his spirit. He was troubled. He wept. The actual translation says that he groaned in his spirit. When he groaned in his spirit, it's an expression of both sorrow and anger. Not only that Jesus deeply loved Lazarus, but he was coming face to face with the reality and the pain of death, and there was anger towards that death and suffering. When we see this very heart of God responding to the work of enemy trying to restore, trying to destroy life, it's like we have the curtain pulled back to see who God is, his heart and his compassion for us. Jesus wept with those that were grieving over the death of Lazarus, and God weeps with us. Where are those moments and times in your life where God's compassion and his love grieved with you? As we look at this, the word Lazarus, the name is actually a shortened version of the name Eliezer, which means God helps. Lazarus is from Bethany, which means house of affliction. So as Lazarus represents both you and I, we need God's help, and we're surrounded by a house of affliction. But we're reminded that Jesus is with us and loves us deeply. God mourned with us and mourns with us. Now, I don't think pain and death were ever part of God's plan for humanity. It's an outcome of the fall. God weeps with us in that, though. There is brokenness in our world, and suffering is so complicated. I spend the majority of my life trying to avoid suffering and pain. But I will tell you, in some of the most profound experiences I've had with the Lord, it's been in my deepest places of pain and suffering. As I think about the moment that I shared with you in the beginning of this message, that was one of the darkest times in my life where I came very close to walking away from faith. And yet I so profoundly felt the presence of God in that pain. So what did Jesus model for us as this idea that Jesus is with us? As a police chaplain, a lot of what we do is sit with people with their pain. And we use this idea of ministry of presence. It's a concept of faith presence that accompanies each person on their journey of faith. In the first chapter of Genesis, God demonstrated the concept of with the Father, Son, and the Spirit created together. God embodies the ministry of presence in his very being. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and lived among us." Foundational to Jesus' ministry was this idea of being with. He was with the Father, and he was with us. There's this presence in each one of us that reflects God's presence, love, and peace. And central to this is the idea of being with. The love and presence of God is embodied as we are with another person in their time of suffering. A ministry of presence can bring comfort and express care without words. It's a sacred presence, a sacramental presence. I don't know your suffering. I don't know what you carry. I only know what I carry. But I know in that, that God is present and he cares. So how do we sit with other people's pain? I think this ministry of presence is really key. And as I think about times I've sat with families who've lost a loved one to a suicide, or I've sat in the hospital with families who are grieving the death of a baby, all I can do is ask to be an instrument of God's presence and peace in those places of unspeakable pain and suffering. Because in it, God really cares. What can we do to help ourselves and others going through times like this? It's practicing this ministry of presence, sitting with people, not giving them pat answers that we can't back up, but crying with people and focusing on God's presence with us. In this particular story, Jesus demonstrated a ministry of presence by weeping with Mary and with Martha. And as we struggle in our pain, we may feel that God doesn't really care. We may even feel that God has forgotten us. But I pray that we will be reminded by the truth that God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. So as we look back on this text, the three things that we see is that God's time is different than ours. We only see in part, but God sees the whole picture. And the last thing is that God is with us. So what are some things that we can do from here? How do we walk away from this text? The first thing I want to do is encourage us to spend time reflecting on God's character, his goodness, his peace, his love, his mercy. Knowing God's character helps us through those painful times because God's character doesn't change. It's a constant. The second thing we can do is to identify ways that God cares for us and has cared for us, even when he didn't answer the prayers the way that we wanted him to. And the third thing that we can do is to look around us. Who around us is in pain? How can we be present with them in their suffering? How can we have a ministry of presence with them? I pray that we will be encouraged in knowing that in times where we feel like we're holding these unanswered prayers, these unanswered hopes, our story didn't turn out like Lazarus did. I pray that we will be reminded that God is with us and that he cares. He cares more than we will ever know. And in him, we find true life and freedom from that pain. God really cares. Let's pray together. God, I pray right now that wherever each one of us is at, whatever we're carrying in unanswered prayers, whatever we're carrying in unmet expectations and hopes, God, I pray that you would just make your presence known in such a tangible way that it would actually envelop us where we're sitting right now, Lord. God, thank you for showing us through this story your heart and your compassion for us. God, as you looked upon Lazarus and heard of his death, you wept. There was grieving. Jesus, you weep for us and you weep with us. And I pray that we would walk away from this place experiencing your freedom and your hope as you minister to us with your presence of peace. God, you speak life, not death. Life, not death. Life, not death. And may we walk out of this place, Lord, as people that have received that gift of life and walk away from death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.